This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. For this week's show, I spent a few hours at a special event that was held last Saturday, October 12th, at the grand opening of the Kenosha Emerging Leaders Academy, or KELA, or KELA for short. It's located at 2222 63rd Street in Kenosha's Uptown neighborhood. KELA is in a beautifully remodeled building, and the grand opening was attended by many people who were there to lend support, as well as those who will be running parts of the center and holding occasional events there. I walked around with my microphone and recorded short interviews about the events and programs at KELA, which you will hear in the first half of the program. The second half of the program features an interview with my colleague, Jacqueline Easley, an early reading expert at Carthage College who has started a program in the building. It was a beautiful day, and I could talk about it for a long time, but let's just spend a few minutes listening to the visitors at KELA last Saturday, and then you can join me again during the second half for a discussion with Carthage's Jackie Easley. Hey, so I'm here at the KELA with some Mahone scholars, yes. And so I want to ask each of you what your name is, and then I want you to tell me a little bit about why you're here. So can you tell us who you are?
I'm Adriana Marciniak. I'm a 2014 Mahone scholar. I was the first full tuition scholarship to be going to Carthage. And now I'm a pediatric occupational therapist with Aurora.
Okay.
I'm Saeed Robinson. I'm a 2021 Mahone scholar. I attend Marquette University, and I'm an HR intern with Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow, okay.
My name is Yusuf Kadet. I'm currently a Callahan Scholar, and I am a nursing student at UW Parkside.
Okay, well, so you can see we're in distinguished company. So tell us a little bit about what's happening here today and what you are doing here to help promote this. So who wants to start? You want to start?
I can start.
Okay.
So we're here today for the opening of the KELA, and as partners with the Mahone Fund, a lot of the time in the community, they do events like Power Up for high school students, they do the Jazz Festival. Their goal is to create those bridges to education for those in the community of Kenosha, and so they're here partnering with this new building to allow those opportunities to expand.
Do you have anything to add?
It's certainly a great time for our city, obviously. I think, as what Adriana mentioned, everything that's going on is obviously a great time. But then to add on to that, we're talking about really our perspectives and then how really the Mahone scholarship for us, at least, has really paved the way to where we are now.
So you yourself are emerging leaders, and so you're here to support this situation. Okay, and?
Yes, I definitely agree with them. This is going to be a new opportunity for the younger generation, and it's definitely going to open up new doors for people to seek new opportunities in the future.
Okay, and right now we're standing outside of, what is this called?
The Teen Tech Center.
Okay, what do you know about it? Can you tell us anything? Maybe I should ask the director.
Okay.
Okay, final words to listeners about this this location and what it's trying to do?
I just think it's really exciting to see these opportunities, especially for those middle school and high schoolers that are learning on where they're going to go in their next path. And so being able to have all these different types of opportunities to see where their lives will go is really awesome to see.
So I found this gentleman wearing a Best Buy Teen Tech Center shirt. So I want to ask you, who are you, and tell us about the Teen Tech Center.
Hello, I am Devin Johnson. I am the Best Buy Teen Tech Center coordinator. The Best Buy Teen Tech Center is an awesome program for teens age 12 to 18. To come in after school and utilize all of the professional equipment that we have to encourage them to follow their interests and to learn by designing with a hands-on approach. That way they are having fun and they're learning at the same time. So it's key for me to find members that are interested in technology.
So describe the physical space, because it's kind of impressive. And I don't, this is just a, it's an audio medium, but let's do our best.
Okay, so let's describe the space. We have 10 all-in-one computers, Dell computers, touchscreen. We have a music studio with a podcast station. We have a section where we do 3D printing. We have a DJ station, a budding making station, a sewing station, a photography station. We also have a heat press and vinyl cutter station. We have virtual reality headsets. We have so much technology for members to utilize and just experiment with. And it's all free for every teen in the area. Or they could be from Alaska. As long as they can get here, they're welcome here.
So you were earlier, I overheard you talking about what you're hoping will happen for the kids who spend time here in the center. So tell us what your secret is, some of their futures.
Ooh, that's a secret sauce. Uh-huh. My hope for the members at the Teen Tech Center is just to build a career or an occupation in high school. So when they get out of high school, they are set in what it is that they love to do. And then it won't feel like work for them because they enjoy it. And they've been doing it for so long, it becomes natural to them. And I just want to connect them with as many resources as I can find and share with them, just so they have as much information as I have to get them through whatever situations that they occur.
That sounds great. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And everyone, come down to the KELA. What are your hours?
Our hours are Monday through Thursday, 2 to 7, and on Friday from 2 to 6.
So the perfect time after school, yep, when people really need a place to come and do their homework and hang out with the other kids who love the same things, right?
Create and explore.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I just ran into a celebrity. Tell us your name and what you're doing here.
David Bogdala, mayor of the city of Kenosha.
So is this the first time that you've been in the building since it's been redone?
No.
Oh, no.
No. Okay. I've been here several times, but today's an exciting day, you know, to actually officially open it up and showcase it to the public.
And what are you hoping will happen for people in the neighborhood with this building?
Well, I think it really, it's going to transform not just this neighborhood, but really transform the city overall. Mm-hmm. Giving kids opportunities and access to equipment and training and programming that they just don't have anywhere else. I mean, right now we're standing in a full-on studio. I mean, where else can young kids, young people get access to that kind of thing if that's, you know, something that they're interested in? And so having that here in the heart of the Uptown neighborhood, I think it's, number one, is awesome for the city overall, but it also sends a signal that the city's here, we hear you, we care about this community, and we're here for the long haul.
Great. So was there anything super interesting to you, like if you can transform yourself back to a teenager, what would have really appealed to you about what you've seen today?
I think really this Teen Tech Center by Best Buy, and again, that's what makes Keela so amazing is it, again, it's not just a city thing. There are so many partners that we have here. But again, having access to all of the equipment and the computers and the video and all the stuff here is just absolutely amazing. Where else can you have that? I don't care where you're. What city has something like this for their young people to actually, and it's not just to play, it's to learn. And I think that's the key, is giving them the opportunity to pursue their dreams and having access to things they might not necessarily have. So sitting here in this Teen Tech Center is just really an amazing thing, and I don't think you can replicate anywhere else.
Any final words?
No, just really excited. Get on down here, check it out, bring your families, and I think be prepared to learn, be prepared to work hard, and be prepared to be about the future of Kenosha, because that's what this is all about.
That's Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, I found a few people in uniform that I wanted to ask about their experiences here today. So can you tell us your name, what you do, and then I'm going to ask you some things about what you've seen.
My name's Tyler Howard with the Kenosha Fire Department. I'm a firefighter paramedic. Today I've seen a lot of cool things that this place has to offer, a lot of different classes that you could take while you're young that introduce you to the trades and not really go the traditional college route, but instead get into a field that can have a very cool impact on your life where you're having a lot of fun.
Okay, they're for real. They just got a call.
Not us.
Okay. We'll edit this part out.
Okay.
And you are?
Matt Price with the Kenosha Fire Department.
What have you seen here today?
Appears to me a bunch of advancing technology things. The Gateway Technical College was here with, what was the lab that we were just talking to the guy making the guitars in? It was basically a community outreach program to let people come in and use CNC machines and their computer-assisted building technologies that they wouldn't have a chance to use on their own because of the price.
Mm-hmm. So as people who are out and about in the community all the time, what do you see as the advantage of this center for the community of Uptown but of Kenosha in general?
I got this one. Just getting into your career early, I think that's very important because, at least from my experience personally, getting into a trade route and not going that traditional college route and becoming in debt where you can't buy a house as soon as you get out of college, but getting into a career that you know how to get involved in early is very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you see anything in particular that you would recommend to kids that you come across?
That we come across in here, there was a cool little robot lab working with children to advance their knowledge of robotics, I guess. Whereas when I was a kid, it was erector sets. Now we're jumping ahead to robotics.
Yeah.
Same idea, but just advanced technology.
Yeah, so any final words on or recommendations for anyone listening on what they should come and see?
I would want my kid to come here for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, I think it's super beneficial.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Okay, I found someone with a Gateway Horizon Center shirt on, and so I thought I would ask him what's going on in his space.
Hello, my name is Thomas Davis. I'm from Gateway Technical College. I work at the Horizon Center. I am an automotive instructor, and I also teach Gateway to Success. What I'm doing here today, since you were so kind to ask, what we're doing is we're racing RC cars, little 1/32nd sale RC cars. So anyone from about 2 years old all the way up until, gosh, I think 100, 120 years old, however long somebody lives still, you can drive these things. And what we're doing here today, I'm here to represent the automotive program. I use RC cars to teach kids about the subject of electricity. I use them as a medium. So we run RC car camps over the summer called the Rev Up and Roll RC car camp, which you can see on the car there. What the kids do is they put the cars together from a kit from scratch. The camp is a week long, so it takes them a couple of days to put the car together. Then I walk them through the painting process of the car. Then they make custom decals. And then with the help of John and the Fab Lab from Gateway Technical College, we also 3D print accessories for the car. And then once all that's said and done, on Friday we have a main event for the kids, and they invite their family and friends, and then we race it out for trophies and prizes. So to answer your question, I hope that answers your question. That's why I'm here, to promote not only the automotive program, but the RC car camps and electricity in general. So, yeah.
So when I was a kid, my brothers were in the Cub Scouts and they did Pinewood Derby. This seems like a really advanced version of that.
Yes, it does. You know, I was in Pinewood Derby too, so I appreciate you bringing that up. Me and my dad built a pencil together, and it was a one-off like replica of a pencil. And I wish I had kept that car. I was too young then to appreciate it. But yes, it is you could call it a supercharged version of that. Absolutely, it is, right? Because those cars don't have engines or anything like that, right? But.
So by getting the kids interested in this early, they learn a little bit about electronics, yes? Which is kind of important in auto mechanics now, right? So tell us a little bit about how that's changed over time.
Okay, that's a good question. How electricity has changed over time, especially from the automotive field. And this actually pertains to RC cars very closely because the hybrid EV technology, that uses what are called semiconductors to drive the or to power the motors in the car. And the same technology is being used in the RC cars or similar technology, except we're dealing with like 7.9 volts as opposed to 400 volts. So it's a lot safer from a teaching perspective to be able to use them. But yeah, those are the changes that we're seeing out there. As you can see in the news and stuff like that, there's electric cars aren't going away. We're starting to see more and more of them. And from my perspective, what I think is going to change the business is China is now manufacturing an EV that's supposed to retail under $10,000. That's going to grossly change the market a lot. So I don't know if that answers the question or not.
Well, yeah, it does. And so for people who are interested in this KELA Center, you're here today to promote this, or will you be here in the center from time to time?
I appreciate you asking that question. My hope is I'm promoting this, yes. And I'm also talking to the people in charge of this place about actually hosting a camp here or working together with them on some sort of project associated with the RC cars. Mm-hmm. The issue comes in is the expense, of course. So that's what we're trying to work out is what route do we go? Do we just have the kids paint the car bodies and not have them take the cars home? Because once they start putting the kid cars together, that's where it gets a little bit pricey. And that's the barrier, really, is just getting funding. To answer your question, I hope to get something worked out here. It sounds like there's something in the works. We're kicking something around, but I don't really know where we're at with it yet. So,
okay, anyone listening with deep pockets, you got to go to Gateway, the Horizon Center. All right, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for interviewing me. I really appreciate it. Nice meeting you.
Okay, so if you could please tell us your name and what you're doing here today.
My name is John Zern. I'm the coordinator for Gateway Technical College Industrial Design Fab Lab. Today we're just showcasing a bunch of advanced manufacturing and getting the community interested in careers that are connected to it.
So I am looking around this room, and the thing that probably catches everyone's eye is a set of electric guitars and a bunch of molds, which I took lots of pictures of. So explain to us what this is about.
So you notice the guitars, but not the RC cars? The RC cars are pretty cool, too.
I already talked to him. So, yes, they are cool.
So Gateway is designated as a STEM guitar building college. We actually had instructors, and we had a full semester course based around building a guitar. There's a lot of scientific principles you can learn with it. What happened was it kind of fell through, so I was left with all of these guitar parts, and we turned it into a workshop. I hold workshops twice a year where you come and you build a guitar. And what we've discovered is not only is it fun and fairly simple to do, but you can learn about all the advanced manufacturing equipment we have in the Fab Lab. There's desktop CNC, we have laser engraving, we have vinyl cutting. So you kind of come in, and we've reverse engineered a lot of parts too. So the molds you're seeing are different attempts we've made to make our own bodies instead of purchasing kits.
So do you think you'll ever get to do one of those workshops in this space?
That would be really great. So we first came across Kila about a month and a half ago, and we came out and ran a STEM event for them. We did the one where you pump the air up in the 2-liter bottle and you make a rocket out of it. It was a riot. We had such a good time. So working with Tifa and Jada, we've been trying to come out and do more events. And I'm a big fan of the Community Matters program, so thank you for all the work that you do. We had Atifa and Jada come on the Fab Lab 10 a.m. program, which I think probably airs back-to-back with you guys.
It's right before us.
Yeah. So we're looking to, the reality of STEM is a lot of people don't understand it, but you can energize youth to be excited about careers in advanced manufacturing, engineering, pretty much anything. And university, while it's great, has a lot of knowledge. A lot of general ed is not necessarily something you need to do a lot of anymore. You can find stuff on the internet very easily. So you can move into things like coding and robotics, and you can move into doing automation. Automation is amazing. So we're basically looking forward to partnering more with Kela and coming out here and doing more projects.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
You're very welcome. And again, thank you for talking to me.
Okay, now I'm in front of the Carthage Community Literacy Center. So I am interviewing someone who can tell us more. Tell us your name and what you know about this.
Hi, my name is Alyssa DeManuel. Basically, this is all about our early literacy. It's having kids involved in reading. It's starting to have them read more at a young age, which is really nice, and gives them access to read any book they would like in the bookshelves, and they can go in that little office over there and they can read their books and enjoy some time just imagining what's like in the book and like have some fun with it.
Right. So it's like a nice little cubby room in the corner which seems very cozy and down the rocking chair.
Yes.
I see little ducks and a bunch of other things out here. What have been the things that have gotten kids interested, and then how do you connect it to maybe?
This one for the sailboats that we're doing, they have to read the sentence and find the missing word that's supposed to be in the blank. So, like, a turtle lives in a blank. And then they find the little sailboat part, and it's a shell, and then they create the boats, which is good for them to, like, read sentences, because sometimes, like, reading can be hard for the younger ones, and so we can help them out and figure out, like, different ones that would make sense for them.
And then what are you studying at Carthage?
Right now, I'm a double major. I'm elementary ed and special ed.
And what year are you?
I'm a junior.
Okay, so you are probably right in the thick of junior block, and you're out in the schools quite often, like 2 days a week, right?
Yes, I'm at a kindergarten classroom. It's at Greveno. Uh-huh. It's a really nice school to be at, and it's very exciting to do.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, of course.
Welcome back. Now I'm recording from my desk through a computer screen, and if you are just tuning in, you're listening to WGTD-HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the grand opening of the Kenosha Emerging Leaders Academy is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So my special guest for the second half of this program knows a lot about the program that was just described in that last interview clip with one of the Carthage students telling us about it. Jacqueline Easley is a professor of education at Carthage College and an expert in reading and early literacy. She developed the Carthage College Community Literacy Center, which is a space in the Kela building. So welcome, Jackie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so tell us about the Carthage College Early Literacy Center. Where did you get the idea for this, and how long has it been in the planning?
Well, pretty much my entire career in higher ed. So many universities have reading clinics where their graduate students who are pursuing licenses as either a reading teacher or a reading specialist would have gone through training on diagnosing and remediating students who are struggling with learning to read or with reading comprehension at all levels, K to 12. And one of the courses in that that they need for their license is a practicum where they would diagnose a struggling reader from the community and then provide tutoring, remediation that's targeted at what is revealed through the diagnosis that student would need. So many colleges and universities that have similar programs house a reading clinic on campus, and it's really geared toward that goal of diagnosing and remediating students in the area that teachers or parents would refer who would need extra help with reading. Mm-hmm. And that's that was the seed that was planted in me when I came to Carthage over 18 years ago. We provide a reading clinic every summer, but it was through our held in our library space, which was fine. We didn't have a specific reading clinic area, and so I often thought I would like to have a reading clinic on campus. And then as I evolved in my own work, I saw that I'd rather see it out in the community and providing more than tutoring, but being a literacy center that serves the needs of the community in a variety of ways. And it's where people are, so that they would, you know, see it in the community, but also hear about it through their schools and other ways that it could be advertised in and around Kenosha. So I was able to have the opportunity for a sabbatical in the spring semester from Carthage last spring of 24. And I spent that time interviewing local literacy leaders in the Kenosha area who provide a variety of wonderful programs to our community to find out what they felt was still needed, what they were most excited about that they offered, what they felt would make this something accessible and supported by the community and most useful. And I took that information and developed a proposal for creating a community literacy center that would include many of the ideas I was given from the people I interviewed, such as create a welcoming environment, have it so that it's not one more thing for families to do, but somewhere where other things are happening, so that while they're there, they would also be able to participate or at least get information about literacy and helping their children. It's going to focus on, for now, elementary, eventually maybe even high school, but it's not for adult literacy. We have an amazing Kenosha Literacy Council that really is a very strong presence in our community and is providing some wonderful work for our adult members who want to achieve higher levels of literacy. So it's not meant to duplicate anything that's existing, which was another reason I interviewed so many people, because I wanted to make sure that we're not just, you know, providing one more thing that someone's already providing. Mm-hmm. So I want to have a wide range of literacy opportunities. So through my work and interviewing, I became aware of the new Kenosha Emerging Leaders Academy. And I found out that Carthage is one of the institutions of higher education that is renting space there and supporting the work there. And so I met with one of our vice presidents here at Carthage, who was at the ribbon cutting of the Kela building, Abby Hanna, and asked her what Carthage's plan was for the office space we were given. And they really hadn't had one yet. And so I presented my proposal to her, and this was something that they were very excited about. And so that's kind of how it evolved. And okay. I was excited because it's in a building where other things are happening, which was a
right.
part of what I wanted this to be. I didn't want it to be its own storefront somewhere, and it would just be one more place that families had to go. But if they're already here at the amazing Teen Tech Center with a younger sibling that might, you know, enjoy some of the activities we would offer, that it would be here. So for that's just an example, because there's so many other things happening there.
Right. And it's in a neighborhood where there's a lot of foot traffic as well. So people wouldn't have to, if they don't have a car, it's hard to get to Carthage quickly. So this way, people who do a lot of their shopping in the area, or they're stopping by the new public library branch or whatever.
Exactly. It's right by the new Uptown Children's Library. It's close to Frank, Roosevelt, and Brass Elementary School. So it's really in a nice location for that.
Great. So I got to see the center, the room that you occupy, but also there's some space outside. I don't know how often you'll use that. So maybe you can describe the center for the audience, since we are not a visual medium. where is it? What will people see if they visit?
Absolutely. So it is an office space on the main floor of the Kela building, but all the way toward the back. So you'll see this wonderful door decal that has the name of the Carthage College Community Literacy Center on the door. Next to the door, I have a red bookshelf with two shelves of books for a little free library. The lower shelf contains picture books for younger readers, and then the upper shelf has novels and chapter books for older readers. And on top, I have some pamphlets for families with information about activities to do at home with early readers before they enter kindergarten. I collaborated with Building Our Future and their Smart Beginnings Network several years ago to help create their pamphlet on getting ready for kindergarten. So there's pamphlets there. There's a pamphlet that I created called Grow a Reader that has at-home activities for parents of children who are emerging readers. So from about birth to about age 4 or 5, activities they can do to promote early literacy with their children. Both the pamphlet from Building Our Future and the one that I created, Grow a Reader, are available in English and Spanish. And then I have a bookmark that lists for the Community Literacy Center itself, and lists on the back my contact information and some of the general activities that we're hoping to do during this first year of our operating.
And then inside of the office space, I saw that you have a rocking chair and another bookshelf,
rocking
right?
chair and a nice bookshelf. So if we're there, we can have it open if people want to use it as a reading room. Mm-hmm. But there's also an office desk in there. I would eventually like to, I'm working on some funding for it so that I could hire someone at least part-time to be in there consistently. So mm-hmm. they could be there to tell, you know, as a personal touch for people, to instead of just reading about things, someone who can tell them about what might be coming up, different activities, and talk about some of the items in some of the pamphlets, and also sign people up for different things that we would be offering. So that's going to be coming down the road as I hopefully get some funding soon for that. But the building itself has several classroom spaces that are available to the people who have offices in the building. So that's where most of our group activities will be housed, because that's mm-hmm. the Literacy Center itself is an office space. Mm-hmm. But then we have access to the first, you know, both floors that have classroom spaces. There's a kitchen on the upper level. I have hopes to create some English language classes through cooking. Mm. And we would use the kitchen space for that. For the classroom spaces, I would like to have at least once a week some Carthage students there doing some after-school homework and reading help. Mm. That kids could be, you know, stopping by after school and use that space once they're aware of it. I'm also going to be using that space for some family story times, like PJ story times in the evening. We're going to have a wide variety. It's not going to be focused on the traditional clinic model mm-hmm. of diagnosing problems and then targeting remediation. That will come. That will be a facet, but I want it to be also emphasizing the joy of reading and creating the habit of lifelong reading, where it's something that students feel empowered that they can do. They have the skill set, but also the desire.
So I know you spent part of your career as a children's librarian.
Yes, I did.
How is the center that you've created in Kela different than the services offered at the new Uptown Public Library mm-hmm. branch, which is just around the corner?
Right. So they're going to have a lot of their own activities that are wonderful and amazing. And I actually went through their website to see some of their activities so that I could be sure that I'm not going to duplicate that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I was talking about like a family evening story time, which isn't, as far as I'm aware, something that I've seen on their site that they would be offering. I wouldn't be doing the little preschool story times, during, especially, you know, at the same time, because that's a huge part of our libraries. And that is such a wonderful asset to the community. But I would be bringing in a young authors program that I want to do for older students, older elementary, middle school students who like to write and have it sort of a place where we would just encourage some writing, give some interesting writing prompts, maybe even have our own publication, our own literary magazine. Mm-hmm. So those kinds of things. It would be I see it as augmenting what the library offers in a unique way, with an education emphasis, and also bringing in some of the things that I did in my own classroom that I transitioned into the library setting, but that mm-hmm. I want to do at the center. One of the most successful programs I created when I was a first grade teacher was an author a month program. And I called it Happy Birthday, Dear Author. And I even have a book published about this program. And I took it to my public library for first through third graders. And it ran for 3 years. So we had three different authors, you know, each year for a given month. So it never duplicated. And the basis is that I would select an author who was still living. And we would celebrate, we would read their books during the month of their birthday. We'd get together having read several books. They get a reading log. They would have access to those books at the library or in my classroom when I taught. So then I would choose an author that they would have access to either at their public library to check out the books there. And we would have a party on the day that we met to celebrate that author. And it always included writing to the author and sending them some sort of birthday card, or we might emulate, if they were an illustrator, create a mural in their style of artwork or something fun. We wrote to Dave Pilkey and we all signed Tidy Whiteys because of Captain Underpants.
The Captain Underpants guy.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we, you know, we always try to tie it in, and I would always send them off to the author with a self-addressed stamped envelope and a letter explaining what we were doing. And we always heard back.
Wow. Because
they knew that, you know, because I gave them the envelope and everything there, so they could just write back and tuck in some posters that they signed with the latest book or something like that. And so a big part of the feature, especially at the library, they'd come to the library and they'd say, "Did we hear from last month's author?" And so they saw them as real people, and they were writing for a real purpose. And we'd all read the letter for a real purpose, and we'd celebrate it and talk about some of the books we read for the next author and do fun activities related to those authors' books and games. And so I would bring some of that back as well. So there's just so much potential to all the different ways that this can really bring a lot of joy to reading and give students the practice they need in reading, because they're doing reading and writing related activities, literacy. And that's really, you know, I just want to start there and continue to grow it. A big feature will be having some of our students helping out there, participating in the activities, maybe even creating some of the family evening story times themselves. Because they're training to be teachers, and they'll be learning about teaching reading, and so they can bring that and gain some experience, but also create a wonderful connection for kids with college students.
Yes,
would be much more motivating than just, you know, just me by myself. So you know, there's just so much that I'm excited about bringing out through this center.
Yes, it sounds great. I'm so happy to hear about this, because I had an idea having seen it, and I talked to the students who were there, but hearing it from you makes it even that much more exciting. What do you think, you're a reading expert, you've been doing this for a long time now. Yeah. What do you think is the biggest misconception the public has about how children learn to read?
Oh, well, I think the biggest misconception that I have noticed is that it's basically learning letters and sounds. Mm-hmm. And once they've learned all their letters and sounds, then that's it. So a child gets to a word they don't know, and the first thing they're told is sound it out. And that doesn't always work in our language, first of all. Second of all, that's just the basic tool. There's so much that more that happens after that. The only purpose for learning that is so that you can identify the words on the page, but it doesn't even get into comprehension and critical thinking and evaluative thinking and inferential thinking, reading between the lines. And so it's just the start. It's one tool in the toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
It's a necessary tool. It's a very necessary tool. But it's not, you know, it's not really the only tool that they have. And it shouldn't be seen as something that is the only way that reading is taught. So many children come to kindergarten knowing how to read if they've been read to a lot at home. And so, you know, when I was a children's librarian, I used to have parents ask me, they would come up to me and say, "My child's, you know, 5 years old, and I'm really worried about them learning to read. What can I do?" And my number one advice was always treat them like a reader. Just give them the opportunity to see themselves as a reader and a writer. When you're writing your shopping list at home before you go to the store, you could say, oh, I forgot to add milk. Could you add milk to the list? You know, just things like that where you're treating them. Or if they are at the store and they pick out their favorite cereal and they say, here are the Cheerios, Mom, or here are the Cheerios, Dad, say, oh, you read that really well. Thank you. Right. Just treat them like a reader. Mm-hmm. You know, when they get a birthday card, you know, let's read that together. Or do you want to read that? Or, you know, point to the words and get them to get a sense of how letters are grouped together to make a word. And just all those basic things, pointing to them as you read so they can start paying attention. Oh, the words I say can be represented in print. Mm-hmm. You know, have them dictate stories after you've gone on a trip to you and you write it down and put a photo on it. And, you know, they can see their words taking shape on paper. So there's so many things so that when they get to school and they're formally taught some of those skills, they're ready. Because they've been immersed in the world of reading and writing before that in just these very basic ways. You know, you don't need to go out and buy a workbook for your kids. It should be something that's natural in the world as it's occurring around them. Playing with sounds they hear in words at the store again. You know, oh, grapes, good, good, grapes. What do you hear at the beginning? What sound is that? You know, just those things. It's right. The more natural you make it, the more natural it will be. And then they'll be so ready for the formal part of it.
Well, that 20 minutes went by quickly. and your enthusiasm is just kind of bursting out of this computer at me. So I hope that that the people listening could hear that in your voice. This has been a dream of yours to put this together and get it situated in the community. So that's delightful. So my thanks to my guest, Professor Jackie Easley of Carthage College. And I want to take a moment to thank the listeners, whether this is the first time you've listened to Education Matters or you tune in every Saturday while you're running errands. We appreciate your support. This month marks 10 years for me as one of the hosts of Education Matters, and I greatly appreciate all of the people I've met and the things I've learned while trying to keep our community informed. From the annual KUSD school board forums I've moderated, to the interviews with educational researchers near and far, and interviews with local teachers, students, and community members, it has been an enriching and enlightening experience for me. I did not get a chance to go back through the archives and count the number of Education Matters shows I've recorded, but I think it is far more than 100 at this point. So I'm really grateful that my colleague Jackie Easley agreed to join me to mark this milestone. So this is a special show.
I am honored. I am so honored to be here for that.
So I'm going to stick around, keep doing this. So feel free to visit our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page to suggest topics or people I should cover next, because as we all know, education really matters. So you've been listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the grand opening of the Kenosha Emerging Leaders Academy is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show here on WGTD, we will be tackling the complicated topic of Medicare. This is open enrollment time, which means that people with Medicare are needing to assess their coverage and whether or not they need to make changes. Joining us will be two staff members from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center, Paula Clark and Tara Kilkerry Santiago. Join us for Monday's morning show, beginning just after 8.
Support for WGTD comes from the Business and Professional Coalition at Carthage College, inviting employers to learn how they can keep their data secure in the age of artificial intelligence. In this free luncheon and panel discussion on Tuesday, November 12th, three Carthage alumni will share timely insights from their experience in cybersecurity. That's Tuesday, November 12th. To register for the event, go to carthage.edu/AI.
Hello, I'm Orson Welles. We know a remote farm in Walworth where Mrs. Buckley lives. In July, peas grow there.